It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. And thank you to everybody tuning in and locking in all over North America. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is in New York City. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I hope you've had a wonderful Valentine's Day. You can always listen to the show on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM channel 375. If you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. What a day, what a day, what a day. We've talked about the Philadelphia Eagles in their parade. I'm sure a lot of these Eagles, they're getting some sleep right now. I know they are getting some sleep. They were drunk. A lot of them were drunk. We're going to have a chat. How about this? In 20 minutes, we're going to have a chat with Chris Franklin from NJ.com. Let's see how many of the Eagles were not drunk. We'll chat with Chris, who was live on the scene. Micah Parsons wants to be like the Eagles. He wants the Dallas Cowboys to actually sign some free agents this upcoming season, this offseason. We'll talk about some of the top quarterbacks available in the NFL. Seems like every day, more and more guys are just open and available. Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be an interesting offseason for the quarterbacks. And then NBA All-Star Weekend is going down in the Bay. A matter of fact, the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game is about to be underway. Hickey, they've already shown the streamers. Kai Cenat, don't know what he does, but I know he is going to be playing in the game. Drewski, I'm familiar with. He's from here in Atlanta, a comedian. He's in the game. And I saw a WWE superstar, Bayley. She's from the Bay Area, and she will be participating in the game. Is the Here's a question. Is the celebrity game going to be better? Is this going to be the best thing to watch?
Wow, that's a great question. I think the rising stars, they'll show effort.
Hickey, they just advertise. See, where's the advertising for this? The NBA, if I saw this correctly, it's Team Barry Bonds versus Team Jerry Rice? I think I just saw that.
I did hear that they would be involved.
Why wouldn't it be? I might be 100% wrong. We know that they're basically chopping up the All-Star game. You got four teams. They're going to go 2-on-2, and then they're going to whittle that down towards a championship game. Terrell Owens is going to participate in the All-Star game. They got Jerry Rice there.
With Barry, a sponsorship, too, by the way.
By who? Wingstop or Ruffles?
Neither. Well, Jerry Rice's, I think, drink that he sells is goat fuel.
Oh, that's what? It's a drink?
I believe it's a drink.
Oh, I didn't know what the hell it was.
Whatever it is, I think that's his company. I feel like he's hawked that before.
I thought it was just his. Thought it was just a chain. I didn't know there was a brand behind it. But for everything that they're doing with this All-Star game on Sunday, wouldn't it be cooler if forget Barry Bonds coaching a celebrity, if they couldn't involve them in the actual game on Sunday? I mean, I'm not expecting Barry Bonds to throw alley-oops. Why wouldn't they have them be like honorary coaches as well? No? Wouldn't that make more sense than slapping them onto the celebrity game?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
They're Bay Area stuff. Like, let Marshawn Lynch coach the celebrity game. Let him coach against, I don't know, what's a Bay Area guy? Not Mr. FAB, but I don't know.
E-40?
Yeah, E-40, yeah. Look at Hickey, wow. Oh, impressive.
I will undermine everything I just did right there in terms of building up some goodwill. I saw him on ESPN earlier today. I couldn't tell you one song. I don't even know if he's a rapper, producer. I don't know what he does.
Blow the Whistle, Hickey. You know that song.
Oh, yeah, actually, yes, and that's a newfound song for me. So I don't know if it's new, but...
That song is about, I don't know, 15, 20 years old.
Wait, wow.
Yeah, Blow the Whistle. That's not a new song. It's an old song.
Oh, boy. This is just going downhill.
Oh, wait. I'm mixing up E-40 and Too Short. Uh-oh. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, now we're going to get emails. Oh, my God. Now I'm going to get in trouble. Blow the Whistle is Too Short.
Okay.
No, they were both on that song. Okay, all right.
But that song, either way, you're saying it's still very old, so I'm late to the, like...
Nah, relax now. 15, 20 years is not old.
You're right. You're right.
You think so?
It's not brand new, let's say.
The song came out in 2006, Blow the Whistle.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. I remember that song. I was in college. Yeah, I remember that song, Blow the Whistle.
Good song.
Oh, listen, that song is a mover, okay? That song is a mover. Nah, but they could have had these superstars on Sunday night. Could have had Marshawn and E-40 hosting the celebrity game, and nobody would have thought anything different. We know the NBA is certainly trying to attract more talent to this weekend. They're trying to make things interesting. It's still a complete disaster that you don't have some of the best in the dunk contest. I lamented the fact last night that Mac McClung will be returning to try to defend his championship three times in a row. Listen to these names. Stephon Castle from the Spurs, probably maybe rookie of the year. Andre Jackson Jr. of the Bucks. Yeah, exactly. Modest Bazulas from the Bulls, the rookie. He's had some big in-game dunks, but yeah. And then Mac McClung. Representing, and this is a joke, the G League, the Osceola Magic. Like, we used to have a dunk contest, used to have Dr. J, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. This is what we have in the dunk contest today? Oh, my God. And this it doesn't even stop there. By the time we actually get to the game, even though they've split it up into four teams, last year there was an entire, like, a caravan of old guys who went into the locker room and implored the players to play harder, to put on a show. And they didn't. They didn't play no defense. They didn't give a damn. They brought in Oscar Robertson and Larry Bird. And try to have these old legends tell these guys, y'all got to play hard. Well, it appears that they're going to try to do so again this year. I want you to listen to Chris Haynes. He basically said that the NBA, they're going to talk to the players again and hope that they show up to work on Sunday.
League sources inform me that the league and the players union will address the All-Star players on Sunday prior to the All-Star game on the importance of competing and putting on a show for the fans. Now, I'm told that these are talks that go on routinely prior to an All-Star game, but it's even more apparent now that with the changing of the All-Star format to multiple teams and the heightened scrutiny of how players seem uninterested on All-Star Sundays, this message is expected to highly urge players to put out more of a fight for the consumer and for business. We shall see how that plays out on Sunday.
I don't think anybody talking to anyone's going to make no damn difference. These players are making so much money. It ain't no skin off their back. They're not worried about the next generation after them that much. You're sitting with a bunch of all-stars. These are some of the highest paid guys in the league. They're making $40 and $50 and $60 million a year. A couple of them are going to be making $70 million a year. You think dragging in an old legend is going to change their mind about going out there and playing hard? I think not. I don't think there's anything that's going to move them outside of competition. Hey, Hickey, how about this? They got Shaboozy here playing in the celebrity game.
Is it bad that he right now, for me, is like the most recognizable person in the celebrity game?
I think I know most of these people. Shaboozy, and I only know him for that. What do you got? One song, two song, Tipsy, right?
Yeah, that's the only one I know.
Yeah, I don't know another song.
Noah Kahan is another singer-songwriter there, but like a lot of these people,
I don't know who Noah Kahan is.
No? Stick Season?
No, I don't. Who?
That's a song?
I don't know what that is. Okay. I didn't know Shaboozy was black until Thanksgiving. I didn't know he was black until the halftime at the Lions game he performed.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they said Shaboozy, and I went, "Oh, the black guy? Okay." I had no idea. I did not know. He was at the Super Bowl too, wasn't he, on Sunday?
I think you're right. That is funny.
Yeah, we got some WNBA players in this All-Star game, so at least we know we'll get some buckets. I did see Baron Davis is playing in the celebrity game too. So it should be fun. But when they get to Sunday, here's the deal. They've split these four teams up into different quadrants. So basically Shaq has the older guys, LeBron, Curry, Tatum, Durant, Lillard, Harden, Jaylen Brown. Anthony Davis is there, but he can't play. We know that. Kenny Smith has the young stars, Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson, Jalen Williams, Garland Mobley, Cunningham, Hero. And Chuck has the international guys, who if Giannis was playing, I would say that they would win, but I'm not so sure. Chuck's team has Jokic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Canada, Victor Wembanyama, Siakam, Sengun, Karl Anthony Towns. Yes, Karl Anthony Towns. His mom was Dominican. I guess that counts. It does. Not American. Donovan Mitchell and Trae Young. And Trae Young is from Oklahoma. Dad is from Texas. But who the hell is he replacing? Hickey, what hurt-ass guy is he replacing? Oh, Giannis, right? Yeah, Giannis, I think.
Yes, Giannis.
Yeah. Well, I guess Oklahoma is global enough. So, Trae Young will be playing with the international team. And Candace Parker is just going to coach the team from the Rising Stars. And so you would assume that whatever team plays the young guys are going to play them hard. They may get beat. They may not. Maybe the young guys go on a run and then one of the teams just goes, "Nah, we can't have this." Whoever plays against the young team is going to have to play hard. And then by the time they get to the finals, I would think it's competitive. Your juices are flowing at that point. As gimmicky as this is, let's play three games on NBA All-Star Sunday night. Three games they're going to play. It has to be better than the garbage that we've gotten over the past few seasons. It just has to be. Hickey, you like this idea? I think it actually helps promote competition.
It can hurt, number one, because as you saw last year, a talking to is not going to do anything. Number two, I think the point you made about the Rising Stars is 100% true. Those kids are going to go hard. Now, whatever team they play, do they have to, you know, they're more talented, so you do have to go all out? No. But I think just their compete level will force the compete level of whatever team they're facing to rise up. And I think you're right. Then at that point, you already got a game in. Now it's like the quote-unquote championship. May as well, at that point, kind of push it and go for the win. I'm interested to see what it looks like. I think to your point, I think it can't hurt. I don't think it could be any worse than what we've seen the last few years.
So I like how the NBA is treating this like a petri dish, right? And so the Rising Stars, and correct me if I haven't seen this in a long time, it's following the same format as Sunday. Did you know that?
I did see earlier today that the winner of the Rising Stars Challenge would be the team on Sunday.
So I still thought it was, you know, two teams. There are four teams in the Rising Stars that are going to play tonight as well. So there's a Team M. I don't know what the hell that is. Mitch Richmond. Shout outs to Mitch. He's a very nice guy. Bazulis is on the team. Bub Carrington is on the team. I don't know who the hell he is. He plays for the Wizards. I just saw them. I still don't know who he is. Julian Strother from the Nuggets. Asar Thompson. His brother, Amen, who plays for the Rockets, playing very well. Bilal Coulibaly, drafted out of France. Toumani Camara. I've never seen this guy in my life. Mitch Richmond is coaching that team. Team T. Tim Hardaway Sr. from Run TMC is coaching this team. This team has Grady Dick, Pajemski, Alex Saar, Tristan Da Silva, Hakez Jr., Zachary Risache, and Anthony Black. And I know Anthony Black because he decided to stand next to Grady Dick one day, and they traded jerseys. That's the only reason why I know Anthony Black. That sounds like a good team. I actually know these guys. And then Team C are look like rookies. Stephon Castle, Zach Edey, Trace Jackson Davis, Jalen Wells, Ryan Dunn, Keontae George, and Dalton Connect. This team is coached by Chris Mullin. And then Jeremy Lin has a bunch of G Leaguers. Hickey, why'd they give Jeremy Lin the bum team?
I'm shocked he's even do you even get involved in this?
I don't know. Well, he has Reed Shepard on his team. Leonard Miller, don't know him. Mac McClung, only know him because he could dunk. J.D. Davison, Bryce McGowans, Dink Pate, never heard of him, and Pat Spencer. I know what team we will not be seeing on Sunday. Okay.
Well, you know what the NBA's nightmare is, right?
What, that Jeremy Lin's team wins?
That Mac McClung gets hurt tonight, can't go tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I was saying, why is he playing in this? I mean, legs need to be fresh.
And if also, if he's the headline act, and this is all, you know, headline act.
Yeah.
And if he gets hurt, it's going to be the UConn show?
Bruh, nobody's watching a dunk contest anyway. There's no anticipation for it. And now we told you yesterday, Steph Curry is not even shooting off in a three-point contest. He's not shooting against Sabrina Ionescu. Good luck to the NBA. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You know what? We're going to get into Steph Curry because, in all honesty, like this is like a celebration of his career. There ain't going to be no other All-Star game in the Bay Area by the time his career is done. We're going to get into Steph Curry later on in the show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time to have a chat with Chris Franklin from NJ.com. We're going to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, this parade that they just had, and let's see if Chris made it out safely. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Today's Valentine's Day. A lot of love in the air. The Philadelphia Eagles had a chance and an opportunity to celebrate a championship in the city of brotherly love. To talk about what took place at the parade today, what got the Eagles to this point, what we can expect to see moving forward, joining us right now is someone who covers the Eagles and all things Philly sports for NJ.com. It's Chris Franklin. Chris, how are you, man?
Hey, doing great, man. Thanks very much for having me on. It was a crazy day.
I'm sure you now. I'm glad that you're here with us, living and in the flesh. You didn't get hit by any beer bottles or cans. You okay?
Yeah, you know, I can mark myself safe on social media. I survived the beer can throwing of 2025. Everything's fine on that. But yeah, that wasn't the only one that was thrown. There was a lot of it thrown, especially in the crowd. People love to share, apparently, especially when they start to climb stuff. So, yeah, it was kind of it's an interesting day for sure.
So before we get to the parade, maybe you can help all of our listeners across the country understand. What is the deal with people in Philadelphia climbing poles to celebrate? Like, what, is it just now a tradition? Like, they got to grease the poles to keep people off? What's the deal? This sounds like a waste of taxpayer money.
I think it's twofold, because there's an Italian tradition. They have a festival every year down in South Philadelphia where they climb the poles. It may date back to going back to Italy and this and that, but everybody helps everybody else to climb the pole. But I also think now that once it happened the first time, especially in 08, when the Phillies won the World Series, I think that really started the trend. And you can expect now, if the team at least gets to, say, the championship round, whether it be the World Series, Super Bowl, what have you, you know at least there's going to be some climb polling then. If they win, then you're going to see, you get a bonus week of it afterwards.
Oh, my God. All right. Whatever gets the job done. Now, a lot of the images that I saw earlier today, Chris, man, we had people throwing up at 9 a.m., 10 a.m. before the parade even got rolling. I mean, we saw some of the video and images. Howie Roseman's head now has that beer can imprint on it. Cooper DeJean cut himself with his own chain. What's the craziest thing that you saw on the parade route? Or maybe it was something delightful. What did you see today?
Well, I'll start with a crazy. I'll do one of both. The crazy one was somebody actually climbed one of the bigger streetlights in Eakins Oval area. That's this area where the media was staged at to watch directly at the stage, so if you're watching on TV. So the guy climbs up to it. He's sitting in the middle of it, and somehow there is a very big bottle. It looked like it was expensive alcohol that was up there. Somebody threw it up there. He caught it miraculously. It didn't fall back at anybody. And then proceeded to take a couple of sips on it, and then let down and just sat there while party in the U.S. Miley Cyrus's party in the USA was going on. That was something that I was like, okay, that was a little different.
So a guy sat on a pole for the actual speech portion of the parade, the rally.
This was even before speeches. This is before the speeches. This is before the parade. The players even came down. This was before all that stuff happened. They were just sitting there jamming to the music.
So this pole is what? Are we talking about a 20-foot tall pole? Or?
I'm bad at math, and this is gonna sound like bad. My math teacher's probably hate it. So yeah, it was a pretty tall one. It wasn't one of the ones where you can take like a regular street light. This was definitely a little bit higher than that.
If this guy fell over, it'd be curtains for him.
He might be crowd surfing. He may have had that help.
Okay.
There was so many people were there.
All right. Well, that's good. And what's the other thing?
The other one I loved is especially, you saw some law enforcement officers who were dancing along with a lot of people. Some of the kids were joining that. You saw babies in there, young guys and girls, toddlers. And then once that stuff was bored, people brought footballs and they were throwing it back and forth. And you saw some of that. So I think fan-wise, yeah, there's a little bit of everything, which pretty much encapsulates Philadelphia as a whole.
Well, that's good. Chris Franklin is here with us, covers the Eagles for NJ.com, was out at the parade today. You know, there was a little bit of a hope. I love the marketing and the branding by Jordan to, incorporate Hurts' last name into all the media, City of Brotherly Love and Love Hurts. That was great. Does this man have a personality, or is he just like this all of the damn time? He's just so even in celebration.
He does have a personality, and that's one thing that endears him with. It was really fun to watch the mic'd up sessions. Because a lot of times we don't have access to that stuff. So you hear him, the way he talks with his teammates, even in the locker room sometimes, he lets loose a little bit in terms of that. But it's nothing like, hey, what's going on, like some of the other guys that happened. That's just him. Like, when you see the media, he's real reserved, laid back, intentional in what he wants to say. I thought one thing that I saw today in terms of his speech, he opened up a little bit, talking about how he never wanted to go up to the Rocky Steps, what have you. So it's there. He just doesn't share it publicly a lot.
In your time in covering the Eagles, have you noticed a change in Jalen, or has he been kind of steady from his leadership? We know this is really the first season that he's really had to take more of a command on the offense.
I've covered it since 2020, and I got to, and that was a shock that night. I wasn't doing it then. I came in August, but that was a shock when he was drafted then. But I've gotten to see him basically get older and mature into an NFL player, and you look at it, this has always been him. He's been always reserved, like in real quiet, and just goes about his business in terms of that. But in terms of leadership, that's always been there. The fact that the veterans bought in when he took over, that was kind of shocking, even back in 2020 in that game against the Cardinals. Cardinals and the Cowboys, that was one of the biggest takeaways. You're like, wow, this guy's really matured beyond his years, and he was able to adapt that. And I think the biggest thing he's done is this season, is that he started to talk a little bit, like work a little bit more with a lot more of his teammates. And I think he got a little more into the weeds and looking at worried about doing the quarterback position stuff, and reached out and basically said, hey, reach out and connect with your teammates a little bit more, just in that one, a little bit more than that. And it's paid off. You see, he took the dealing with the offensive line, going out with the defensive backs, what have you. He's doing a lot of things to make sure that he tries to be that leader that's needed, especially at the quarterback position.
Chris Franklin is here with us from NJ.com. Howie Roseman is beloved. Despite the mark on his head from that beer can, this man is now beloved. They were chanting his name. I remember a few seasons ago drafting guys like Jalen Reagor. This guy was kind of hated. I mean, despite the fact that he won a Super Bowl, people were looking at him going, hey, man, you're screwing us up. We had a chance to continue. Has he been vindicated in a certain type of way? Everybody loves him now.
I think the vindication happened, the initial vindication happened in 18, especially when he was banished to the other side of the NovaCare complex, when Chip Kelly said, okay, hey, you know, not 2018, excuse me for that. Yeah, when he won their first Super Bowl, I think that's when his vindication happened, after Chip Kelly banished him when he was the head coach there. The 2020 Jalen Reagor one, I think that really was a collaborative one. From what I've heard, there was some other people that were really wanted to put him in there to make it a better fit. So it wasn't all him, but ultimately he's the one that submits the card in. So yeah, it does fall in, but it may have been a scheme thing in terms of that, from what I've heard. I think the biggest one, especially, was the 20. Especially the vindication from last year with the collapse. I think that was a bad taste in his mouth, seeing what happened with that and helping along with that. And seeing like, hey, you know what? You need to add some more impact guys. You just look at what he reeled off this past offseason. Saquon Barkley. Even his last three third-round picks that he had, they're all contributors. They all played at least one play in the Super Bowl, and they're contributors. So I think overall, I think the vindication happened long ago. Is now it's just he's just submitting himself like, hey, you know what? Well, we see his name in the executive branch of the Hall of Fame. I think he's done that well of a job over a long period of time that it warrants consideration when he decides to hang it up and move on to something else.
Well, Chris, I agree with you. You think about two Super Bowls, and this obviously is a team that's built to last, especially given their youth. They are the favorites to go ahead and win the Super Bowl again next year. What are some potential changes that we might see in the offseason? We know Zach Bond is a free agent. Are they letting him go? Probably not. What else could we expect? What changes can we see?
Well, you also got to worry about your edge rushing position, too, because you got some questions you got going on there. You got the only people that they have, you know, for sure are Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt, and they're both young, still in the rookie contracts. Bryce Huff underperformed, and he didn't do as well of a good job, and so much so that he was inactive for the Super Bowl. And then you have Brandon Graham. You don't know if he's coming back or not, if for another year or not, if he's going to retire or say, you know, I'm going to try to come back 1 year. And
he's
the big
old.
One, Josh
White. He's 37, right? He said it today. Yeah. He's going to be 37.
And the scary thing is, he was at one point earlier on in the season, he was their best defensive end. The way he was playing and getting and rushing edge, it's like, I wonder if he got the proverbial knock on the thing, like, hey, we need to see submit a sample. All right, cool. But he's clean because he was doing that well. And you also got to look at Josh Sweat. And I guess besides Bond, I think a lot of teams are going to go after Josh Sweat. And so Eagles will have to create some cap space. There's a lot of guys who turn that, and you got to worry about offensive side of the ball in terms of Mekhi Becton. So, yeah, those are – I'm watching specifically Mekhi Becton, Josh Sweat, and then Zach Bond, because I think Zach Bond is going to be sought after a lot. Now, there's a lot of teams that are out there. Like, New England Patriots have a lot of money. And you look at a guy like that, maybe they add him on defensive minded like Vrabel, but – from what we were talking to Bond yesterday, he likes Philly. He just wants to see, hopefully, the deal and the money works out.
I certainly can imagine. Chris Franklin here with us from NJ.com, covers all things Eagles. Nick Sirianni, today he was also short into the suite. The fans seemingly now have an affinity. A couple of months ago, he was cursing some out at a game, and today he's beloved. How long does that last? Week one of the 2025 season?
If the twin teams perform poorly and they come out sluggish in the opening night, it'll probably start there. Your view from murmurs around there. I don't think it'll be a full throttle boo there going on. But yeah, you know, I think you look at the job it is today. Head coaching's tough no matter what you did. And looking at, you think about where he started, and everybody's looking at that opening press conference, and it's like everybody was saying, that. But you saw. The biggest thing is I always look at is the key to that one, too. If you can communicate and get your point across and the veterans buy in, because we've seen so many guys that can scheme up the world, Adam Gase, and do all this stuff, and then when it comes time to actually leading everybody to have a certain vision or a goal, they can't do it, and they're out in 2-3 years, what have you. But the one thing that Sirianni has always done since he's been here is he's been able to find one thing to be able to get these guys to connect, because 53 different personalities on a roster, good luck. That's a tough thing to manage, but he finds some way to ease or smooth some things over or get us have a certain message that everybody buys in. It's funny that everybody laughs at it now, but everybody was talking about the flower speech in 2021. Like, well, what's going on with growing roots and everything? That galvanized them to go through the playoffs. I think the team fed off of that, and that's led to this sustained run. So he's done a good job. He's going to get paid a lot with this extension because he's got 1 year left, and he's definitely not going to be a lame duck head coach, so it's crazy.
Well, it's good for him that Nick Sirianni, he's going to bump that salary up from $7 million to, I guess, they're going to tack on another 3 or 4 or 5. Well, Chris, I'm glad you made it out of that parade. Unfortunately, we heard at the end that there were two women that were shot. We don't know the details on that. It's tough to kind of measure things by that, but all things considered, good crowd, good environment, good people, good fun.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot. It was moments like this, especially with the Eagles having gone so long from not winning a Super Bowl till now. it's one of these things where you started to get some of those older generations that were saw like the 60 championship, they were starting to go away, and you want to create those memories and stuff. You used to hear them tell all the tales. Well, I saw Norman Van Brocklin, I saw all these guys. And now you look at it, you have this new generation of people in Philadelphia that are experiencing getting used to winning, which for a long time didn't happen at all. So right. Stuff like this, they'll cherish that. It's unfortunate what happened with that shooting, and you wish some people just like, okay, calm this down. It's not that. It's of all days supposed to be a joyous celebration, but for, I'd probably say, a good 96% of the people out in that crowd, everybody did everything they were supposed to do.
Yeah, I hear that. And I think 90% of the people who attended are probably asleep right now.
They're in trouble. It's Valentine's Day. If they're asleep already, good luck.
Oh, well, listen. Wow. Maybe they were out there with their significant other. Maybe they all sleeping. I mean, they were, you know, a lot of intoxicated people out there. I don't know that much. Hey, Chris, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you and your work at NJ.com?
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thank you very much for having me on. They can follow me on NJ.com. Stories I write on NJ.com/Eagles. If you go to X, Blue Sky, Instagram, TikTok, C Franklin News, CFRANKLIN News, and I'll be there.
Hey, Chris, enjoy the rest of the offseason. There's only one champs, and you're covering them, all right?
It sounds great. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No doubt about it. That Chris Franklin covers the Eagles. Hickey, let's see if I can spell it. E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles, right?
You are smarter than at least half of Philadelphia.
Oh, the mayor couldn't spell it either. I'm just saying.
Well, did you hear what she did the other day?
E-G-L-E-S? What did she do?
No. She actually went above and beyond. She spelled champions.
C-H-A-M-P-I-O-N. Champion. S. Champions.
S.
Yeah, S. Champions.
Yeah,
S.
So she didn't want to redeem herself just by spelling Eagles. She said, I'm going to spell NFL champions.
If she wants to impress me, she has to spell, what is it? Onomatopoeia.
You know what's funny?
You know how to spell it?
No. That exact, like, when you were pausing for a second, I'm like, oh, I wonder what he's going to say. Onomatopoeia was right in my head. That's crazy.
Yeah, but nobody knows how to spell that.
What letter do you think it starts with?
It starts with an O.
Are you sure? Or is it one of those, like, false
Bruh.
P's, silent?
Come on, man.
What do you mean, come on?
I know what it means. Onomatopoeia is when you have it's like an emphasis, like a comic book thing, where you utilize a word to make it a sound. Does that make sense? Like, bam, pow, pop, pop.
Yeah,
like,
that makes
sense. Batman. It starts with an O. Come on.
Well, it's... Okay, I guess the word that went in my head is possum.
A possum is what? Opossum or possum?
It's the same thing.
No. Yeah, it's the same thing. But an opossum and a possum are the same animal. But go ahead.
Wait, isn't possum spelled O-P?
No. You can... There's two... Rich Ackerman is here. Rich, don't feel left out now. Rich, you could spell possum, P-O-S-S-U-M.
P-O-S-S-U-M.
Yeah, and then there's also an opossum
exactly.
And a possum. They're the same thing.
Yep.
They just have two spellings for the same animal, Hickey.
Yes, I know that only because I just had one in my backyard.
Oh, my God. A possum?
Yes.
They are nasty looking you-know-whats. Oh.
Yes, I came home one night and it was... eating my trash, and I thought it was a big rat. I'm like, geez, that is a giant. And like, he was just like staring me down and laughing at me.
With them beady black eyes.
Yeah.
Did you scare him away, or was he not?
I tried. He scared me away.
He didn't get you with that hissing noise, did he?
He didn't hiss, but I had the stare down.
How did you get this opossum away from your stuff?
I didn't. I ran, and he eventually left.
Oh, my God. Oh, I can't stand possum. Well, I don't know what it is. Possum is plural for all of them, I guess. I don't like possum, and I don't like what's them rats with the eyes, the raccoons. I hate them. They got thumbs. They will. I've seen them lift up the garbage can lid. I'm like, I'm not messing with anything that got a thumb like me. No, thank you. It's terrible. Look, Rich, I'm glad that you're okay, all right?
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy about that.
I lived to tell the story.
You did? You did. Either that or you'd have to eat the possum.
Yeah, I'm not going there.
Okay, all right. Well, Hickey, what's that guy? Is it Leggett on the Panthers that eats the possum and the raccoon and the squirrel?
Xavier Leggett, yeah.
Yeah.
He's country.
Yeah, we'll get him over to your house, Ack, and you can have some fine delicacies, okay?
There you go.
You're welcome. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, you know what? The Eagles had a celebration. There's a Dallas Cowboy who wants to have a celebration, but he knows the team has to, they got to show up and buy some guys first. We're going to hear what Michael Parsons had to say about the Cowboys.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Chris Franklin for joining us from NJ.com to talk about those Eagles celebrating their championship today. And he said 95%, 90% of the people were just having a good old time, a great time. I'm glad he made it out. I did hear about the two individuals who were shot. And Hickey, you said there's an update as to what happened. We got details on what happened at the parade?
Yes. Yeah, so according to CBS Sports, both women that were shot, thankfully, are in stable condition.
Yes.
One was shot in the calf, one was shot in the thigh.
Okay.
So what we've learned, or at least what CBS Sports has learned so far, is that the gunshots went off in a brawl that happened far away from where, at this point, the players were giving the speeches at the museum. This was nowhere close to that. And what instigated the brawl that led to the gunshots was apparently one girl and her boyfriend tried to cut the porta potty line.
Oh, my God.
Which instigated a fight, which then during this melee somehow gunshots were fired. So try to cut the line for the crapper. When there's, I'm sure there's a million drunk people that have to pee their pants.
Oh, my goodness.
Ugh. Yeah, oh, and that's seemingly, early on from what we know, how we got to this situation.
Two women were shot because a couple wanted to cut the porta potty line.
Right, and there's always those people, right? They see the line, they walk on up, and they think, I'm just going to walk right in, no one's going to say anything.
I try to make a concerted effort. If I know, Hickey, I like to drink a lot of water. I try to have a glass of water every hour. That's a lot of water. I try. I'm not going to drink tons of water if I'm outside all day long, knowing that I'm going to have to use the bathroom every 5 seconds. And I get it. Once you start having one drink, you want another one. And then you want another. And then you want another drink. And so I get it. People are getting shot over the porta potty line. Come on. I mean, is there such thing as a good reason to shoot somebody? I would hope not. But there are levels. And somebody getting shot because they're cutting a porta potty line is just. Hickey, that's a Philadelphia story.
That it is, and like you said, we would never justify any use of guns. Never.
No, not at all. No. Unless you got to protect yourself, life and death, you
right,
know?
Of course. But
not at a parade.
Right. How can we phrase this? Does it make sense that if you are trying to cut the porta potty line, maybe somebody who is probably extremely inebriated would take extreme measure because that's probably the most offensive thing you can do at that point.
So what's the thought? Hey, you're cutting in line. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to shoot you. And is that,
I don't know.
How does that get anybody into taking a pee? How does that do anything for anybody? I would assume once you discharge your firearm, you're not going to just, let me put this back in my waistband and just go take a leak. You, I think, would also leave, right? You can't casually, you know, shoot somebody and then just go, all right, well, they out the way.
Yeah, let's get the line back going. All right. Everyone's scattered. I'm next.
Yeah, and just go. Maybe you do. I don't know.
You know what that reminds me of? Do you remember the George Bush, like, when he was on the golf course? And he goes, we got to get those terrorists. Now, watch me hit this drive. You know what I'm talking
about? No, I don't remember.
He gave like a speech on a golf course. And it was like a serious like thing, like, you know, we got to get these terrorists. Like, this is like our country's under fire. And he goes, all right, now, as he walks to the tee box, like, watch me hit this drive. I just ride my head, just the guy shoots the people. All right, Now, let me get back in line and take a pee.
Yeah, no, I thought you were going to talk about when he had the shoe thrown at him. And was it two shoes? It was two. They got
two. Oh, for two. Yeah,
Bush is quick. He's good.
That he is. You're he right about that.
He he dodged them shoes. Both of them. I give him credit. I give him credit for that one. It appears that the women were young, too. Of course they were young. 20 and 27. The ladies that were shot. They're in stable condition. Nobody was apprehended. How about that? Maybe the guy or lady did go take a pee after. I don't know. I don't know.
Are they still there?
No.
Check the porta potties?
Yeah, no weapon has been recovered. Police. There have been no arrests. The investigation is ongoing. Maybe they did get a chance to pee. What a world. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm going to tell you what Dallas Cowboy is mad at the Eagles. We're going to get into the Friday funny. We're going to hear from Steph Curry. It might be the end of his career. There's a lot going on. The JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.